Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we are talking about Mega Man X4, which is a platformer game developed and published by Capcom for the PlayStation and Sega Saturn in 1997.
Is this our first game that was available on the Sega Saturn?
No, it can't be. There's a lot of weird stuff, like 2D platformer stuff that
I guess Symphony of the Night is on there. That infamously bad version with like levels you can't go to in the PlayStation version.
Mm-hmm. But not the first one. But it's been a while since we've been back to this era, I think.
Yeah.
Like early PlayStation.
Yeah, or Mega Man.
Yeah.
You know, we've done comparatively few Mega Man games for how many of them there are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is our second, this is the second X game that I have beaten of this. I had beaten Mega Man X, Masterpiece, first episode of WoF, and I bounced off the second one real hard.
Okay.
And then dabbled in the third one and was like, I don't like this anymore.
Yeah.
And stopped. So I never played this one, but it's pretty good. I'm not as warm on it as you are. I don't think like there's some things that I don't, I'm an original Mega Man. Prefer, I think, classic Mega Man.
Yeah,
2X,
yeah.
But it's pretty good. It's a pretty good game.
Yeah. This is like, coming back to it, obviously, I don't have the same, same sunny feeling about all parts of it that I did when I was a kid. Like, this was one of the first PlayStation games I ever got. Mm. You know, I fucking adored Mega Man X1 and had, a friend with Mega Man X2. So I beat it there and rented X3 a couple times. When I got a PlayStation and seeing X4, with its kind of all of its presentational upticks, it was like, holy shit, this is the future to me.
Yeah, it's got a lot of I can see it appealing to kids in a big bad way. Like this would have, you know, got me as well if I hadn't already like stopped the series, I guess. It's also a thing too, like going into this, we're getting into the lore side of Mega Man in this, and I will throw this out there, it makes me want to die. as a thing, this story kills me, and the cutscenes of it kill me.
It is pretty dumb. Really dumb, really. We're getting into like X4, you know, there's voice acting, there's anime cutscenes in this. The Mavericks talk to you. It's weird.
Yeah. This is the story of X and Zero. These are two androids who hunt down robots that have gone Maverick. So they are cops. Mavericks have bucked their programming to commit crimes and hurt humans or form sovereign nations in this case.
Yeah. Basically, going Maverick is just you've decided to break the law and suddenly you are a different type of thing now. Yeah. And this
world
game
is so fucking funny. Are there any humans in this world?
You never, ever see them.
Like, it's just a robot underclass. Mm-hmm. Like, it robot underclass and overclass. Like, I got the sense there to be humans. Somebody had to build these things, but you don't see them.
Yeah, I think in X2, you see Dr. Kane. That might be it.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if he turns out to be a robot, because that's the kind of shit that happens in these end bosses.
That's what happens. Such. Yeah. Always secret robots. But yeah, there's like a whole robot army called the Repliforce, and they get blamed for this disaster that happens at the beginning of the game here. They're declared Maverick, and instead of turning themselves in, they start a guerrilla war, and X and Zero need to stop them.
Yeah. It's a little messy, as we'll get to it.
Yeah.
The game does play like a Mega Man X game, basically. You complete stages in any order. You gain abilities from the bosses that you defeat. Bosses have weaknesses. And then you get to kind of an end gauntlet of things. There are some things that kind of add to the formula, however. You know, some things that you've been able to do, like dashing and wall jumping, rideable mech suits, but they add some new things to it as well.
Yeah. A lot of new movement abilities, and this other thing, which is the kind of the big marquee feature, X and Zero are both playable. You pick one at the start and you play the entire game with them. And they both get like new movement abilities. that make them able to navigate the same stages in kind of different ways. It's kind of, it's cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's neat. In X3, Zero was basically like Rush. It was a human hound that you could treat as a dog. You tap him for segments, and his health was persistent between. So he's like a power up.
Yeah.
Now you play him. If you play as X, he plays like a Mega Man. He's got an arm cannon. He can charge. And you, the X play, I ended up beating the game with X. Okay. So I played Zero a little bit. The gameplay is a little bit different because you're looking for more things. I feel like X has a greater incentive to explore levels because you find upgrades to your armor to get your movement abilities.
Yes. Yeah. With Zero, you're just looking for the heart containers and the energy tanks and stuff like this. Something that is weird, that is definitely different from earlier X games, is that special attacks give movement abilities too.
Or kind of utility. Like, I think that's really neat. You know, getting the ice shield that works as a shield and stuff. That is a cool thing for a Mega Man game to do.
Yes.
You know, all keys should also be tools. We talk about this all the time in Metroidvanias. And this isn't a Metroidvania, but if you were the most tedious person on Earth, you could probably make that argument it is.
Yeah, you can go back to whatever level you want with new abilities, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I don't care. but playing as Zero, you know, me being a little kid, you know, I think I was like 7 when I first played Mega Man X. Like, holy shit, Zero's cool as fuck. It's got a sword. Look at this guy. Being able to finally play as him, a really big deal to me. And he plays differently. You have his Z Saber. Your only, like, your basic attack is only effective at close range, which changes the way that you have to fight. It turns this a little bit into like a Symphony of the Night kind of thing. Yeah.
I think it's harder.
Yes.
Like, it's kind of like a challenge mode.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think this game is generally kind of hard. I beat it as X. I did not beat it as Zero, but I played a good amount of Zero and was struggling a bit.
Yeah.
In part because when you defeat a boss as Zero, you don't get a new weapon. You get a move. And these moves are Street Fighter moves. That's a cool idea. I cannot pull those off consistently to my satisfaction always. You know, so the movement abilities were cool, like getting a double jump, air dash, shit like that, I liked. Getting Street Fighter Hadoukens and such, not exactly Hadoukens, Rising Phoenix Slam Force and shit, they have, you know, dumb names. I could not pull them off well enough or consistently enough to make them part of my arsenal.
Okay.
In a general sense. I could from time to time, but it was less, you know, dependable.
Yeah, that was, I was able to do them more reliably, but needing to get in close to do any damage exposes you to a lot more risk. You can't play as like conservatively as you do when you play as Mega Man. Since you've clarified that you played as X and then dabbled in Zero, I just beat the game 2 times. I just played both of them so I could make notes and talk about both of them. I like what this does. It even complicates platforming. You can't shoot a hazard from a distance. You have to like deal with it up close. You know, kind of doing more stuff on the fly.
Yeah, a lot of jump slashes. Most of the levels and bosses are the same. You have kind of different stories, different endings for them. And levels do not have the alternate versions that X1 does.
They haven't done that since 1, which is like they had an amazing idea and then just dropped it.
What they do instead, which I think is really neat, is that there are kind of more stage gimmicks. This game is paced pretty well in terms of always giving you kind of a new thing to do and look at. The levels have strong themes and kind of gimmicks and structures to them that makes it feel fresh when you move to a new one.
Yeah.
You know, generally kept things moving apace.
This was something that they did with Mega Man 8 as well. Like, you have the, like, the speeder bike level in this one. Like those had really frustrating, like, hoverboard, auto-scroll kind of things. But yeah, like, there are cool gimmicks to this, you know, sometimes relying on the visuals that the PlayStation could do. But yeah, I like them playing around a little bit, especially after, like, specifically X3 got so stale.
Yeah. It's funny that it took this long to do it, to start doing that, like 8 and 4. So they're having it, and the next time they'll do it in 2. Each time exponentially quicker to get to gimmicks.
Yeah.
This game is hard. It's some parts are pretty easy. You know, the levels generally are pretty easy once you get the hang of it. Bosses are very pattern-based, and they don't have tons of moves. Like, first time I fought all these bosses, I didn't ace any of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I died to them because they do relatively big damage. One specifically, I think, is kind of egregious. Yeah. And then when you get to the end, which I think is hateful. But the final stages and the final boss sucks. I hate the end of this game.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
It was very frustrating, and it was a spiteful finish for this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Didn't care for the ending of this. That's the part that aged the worst, and I think suffers the most in comparison to Mega Man X, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. The final stages of Mega Man X were like true kind of tests, you know? Whereas this is... we'll talk about it when we get there, but it's a lot of like damage sponge and egregious damage kind of differentials. Boss. Yeah.
The final boss. The final boss, in addition to just being like, what the fuck is going on? That second phase, it's just like, oh, I don't know, multicolored sentinel heads. Fuck it. It's weird. This is Mega Man X is one of those series that gets something perfect and then stops doing it.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's like a category of game. We talk about that with Dark Souls.
Yes.
Getting the healing system correct. Like, Mega Man X had it perfect. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, eh. mechanically, the other thing that I mentioned, and this is the 100% a your mileage may vary thing, and it might have to do with the platform I played this on. I played this on Switch on the Mega Man X collection. This is going to sound real simple, but I swear it makes a difference. Mega Man X is bigger than Mega Man.
Yeah.
Like, you take up, in like a Mega Man takes up what I feel like is like 1/8, like the stage is 8 Mega Mans high. Mega Man X, the stage is like 6 Mega Man X's high.
Yeah.
And I was seeing threats less, you know, closer. I had less time to react to them than I do in a Mega Man.
You're more zoomed in with all of the like reduced situational awareness that comes with that.
In addition to levels being a little cramped, like a lot of times levels have an overhead. Part to them, and that space is not used, you know, other than for enemy approaches, right? So like in Mega Man, you have the ludicrousness of having a big flat plane, and then 95% of the screen is just blank blue sky. But an enemy can come from that direction. Limiting the space the enemies came from, this feels more cramped to me a little bit. Not in a terminal way, like not in a way that ruins it, but I was trying to think of like, why do I like old Mega Man more than I like new Mega Man? And I think that's part of it. I prefer a smaller character in my platformer for this kind of thing.
I can see what you mean. And even when I was playing it, I was like, that's probably something that sticks in Gary's craw, the level of zoom in. For me, I have like equal nostalgia for both, I guess.
Yeah.
So, while understanding that the zoom does make a level of difference.
I ended up playing it back to, or not playing the whole thing, but dipped back into Mega Man X1 to kind of compare. And I feel like Mega Man X1, you are the same height. The screen is the same number of Mega Man's tall, basically. Mm-hmm. But the level design has more headway.
Yeah.
That kind of made it feel a little bit less, like me, a little bit more mobile. And this also, we run into this with the bosses, because now that the bosses are different shapes, some of them take up quite a bit of space.
Yes.
And everything. So there's just kind of like, it's tighter in a general sense. And that could be a preference thing.
I think this game looks really good. Yeah. Like, incredibly beautiful sprite work, really fluid animation. I think the bosses are really imaginative, like, you know, maintaining the, you know, the Maverick bosses are all animals this time, mm-hmm. instead of various kinds of men. it works really well. You do have the problem of X's armor getting heinously ugly when you upgrade it, which is just a problem across the entire X series.
Yeah, it looks really, really bad. Yeah. It's funny that in this world, Mavericks are always animals. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have an animal-based robot, like, you know that guy's going to turn bad.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no way around it. Soundtrack to this is good. It is not SNES good to it, yeah. a little bit. Like, you're not hearing rock songs translated through this NES sound chip. You're hearing a technically better sound chip doing higher fidelity rock songs. And it's all, like, Get Pumped music.
Mm-hmm.
And it loses a little bit of charm and a little bit of, like, uniqueness to it.
Yeah, it ends up feeling a little bit less hooky and a little bit more, I don't know, textural is probably the wrong word for it, but it blends in. It becomes a little bit more anonymous to me.
Part of that, I think, is there are fewer genres at play.
Yeah.
Like, a cool thing about Mega Man music historically to me has always been that they're not all, like, hurry up and get fucking pumped music. Like, mm-hmm. some of it is kind of creepy or atmospheric or anything like that. I mean, atmospheric, yeah. is kind of an overstatement, but they almost feel like different genres.
Mm-hmm.
Here, these all feel like thrusting ahead, pumping high octane, like, workout music.
Yeah.
For it. And it's, you know, that's appropriate, but yeah, kind of ran together.
Yeah. We mentioned this before, but one of the huge steps backward here is that this is the first of the X games to have voice acting. Mega Man talked before this. Mega Man 8 had voice acting. That is also infamously bad. I don't know if we're going to cover that game, maybe after a certain amount of time. But that is the one that has Dr. Light. Dr. Wily, yeah, having a kind of an Elmer Fudd speech impediment. This does not have much approaching that, but it's just a real demerit the entire way through. I don't think there is a good performance in this.
No, there's nothing approaching a good performance. Like, good performances have nothing to do with this. It's better than the Mega Man 8 one. The Mega Man 8 one, in addition to having that weird Elmer Fudd voice, like, they left in flubs.
Yeah.
And stuff. It is really shockingly amateurly done. This one, it's mostly just bad shonen voice acting, but it continues the trend of Mega Man is a baby. I don't know why Mega Man is BMO. Uh-huh. They decided to make Mega Man like an infant, and I don't like it. It's never how I imagined Mega Man.
Yeah, no, they had a chance. They had a chance to differentiate at least Mega Man X, which is supposed to be the, the kind of, like, harder core, edgier, and more mature Mega Man. So you would think that, let's gruff him up a bit. No, same voice actress between Mega Man 8 and this, Ruth Marie Jarman. And they had her record lines for both games in the same session and didn't tell her that she was voicing two different characters.
It's so crazy. That is such a basic thing to tell somebody.
Uh-huh.
Like, what a crime to do to an actress.
Yeah.
Like, my wife is an actor. Like, she does stage plays and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to imagine how she'd react to, like, this kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, no. I mean, but remember, this was, I think, maybe only, like, a year, maybe 18 months after Resident Evil. You know, this is Capcom at this time. Yeah. They just didn't do this. They didn't care, really.
Yeah. It's wild how much worse this is even than Resident Evil. Like,
yeah.
Resident Evil is wooden, mm-hmm. but the characters sounded like themselves.
Yes.
Here. We get a lot of anime cutscenes. These look good for anime cutscenes, but their mm-hmm. writing and story in this is really bad.
Yeah.
The story is incoherent, and it rushes at the end in such a funny way. Like, it wants to be done.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of it.
It's got a tea time to get for. They were trying to aim for more kind of gray morality to this. Like, okay, well, let's look at of what going Maverick kind of means after falling into this trap in X3, where it was like, oh, well, it's a Sigma virus that does it. You just get a virus and it turns you into a villain. Like, they toy with that and you end up with, like, weirdly kind of like Rebifor's being kind of, you know, just flashy.
But they of look course, flashy.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's spotting the fascists in this is hard because Repliforce, they're not specifically, they just want to make, they want to make their own nation. But they want to go somewhere for it.
Yes.
They don't want to like turn something that already exists. And everyone's a robot. And I don't know why one robot is one way. And you know, they're not different. They're not different races. So it didn't seem flashy to me other than the outfits. They're sharp dressers in terms of how they're designed.
I guess I'm mostly reacting to, did you watch the cutscenes from Zero's section?
But like long time ago. I don't remember them very well.
His love interest as she was dying is like, I wanted to live together with you in a world of only robots. No humans around. Please keep the humans away.
Just her having him having a girlfriend, and then like, when did that happen? I assumed when I was playing this, I assumed this was stuff that was set up in like X2 and X3, but it's
no,
not.
God, no, no.
It's self-contained. Mm-hmm. It is a really bad story. The reason why the inciting incident of this, of somebody being basically present during a terrorist act, and then being like, I was just here, and you saying, I'd like to question you, and them saying no, and then hunting down their entire, you know, group. Like, well, that's enough. We're going to hunt you down to the ends of the earth. It's fucking ridiculous. Double is ridiculous. It is a bad story. Yeah. I don't understand people who get invested in this lore.
No, not at all. It doesn't even have like the cute characters and like fun performances of like a Mega Man Legends, you know?
Yeah.
Like Mega Man Legends is just leagues ahead of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not even a Mega Man Legends guy, mostly because of the mechanics, but Mega Man Legends is quaint and there are people in it.
Yeah.
Like there are no stakes in this game or nothing other than Mavericks and Maverick Hunters.
Yeah.
There's nothing, you know, they say that a lot of people died from this terrorist act. You don't see anything.
No,
you know, it feels like you already live in a place without humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about production details on this. There's a site called Schmopulations, which I'm not crazy about that name, but it has been a source in a couple of episodes of like translations of really old interviews from magazines in Japan.
Yeah.
And some of the details that are out there about this game are like from that. So want to give credit there. There was originally no plan to make a follow-up to X3. That game is considered to be pretty crummy. People are like, by releasing these annualized sequels, they played out the formula. There's no place else for this to go. Notwithstanding the fact that X3 was farmed out to the Mega Man Game Boy game team.
Yeah. And those are worse Mega Man games. Like if you played them at the time, they would do, you know, I always feel like the Mega Man Game Boy games are good enough.
Yeah.
You know, for on the Game Boy, but they're not, it's a totally different skill set.
Yes.
Capcom wanted an entry in the X series for this new hardware, though. They're excited by the PlayStation. So the team came together with Kenji Inafune, leaving art duties to other people and focusing just on story and production.
There. I love this, just focusing on the story. Like how this
took,
the story
this took a
is.
Huge team. They stayed up all night to do this. they got takeout. It was a whole thing.
Yeah. They had the idea to make Zero be playable early on, but Capcom did not want them to have Zero play this differently. It took them adding Street Fighter attacks to get Capcom to allow them to do this.
Yeah. Pretty dumb.
Yeah.
You know, seriously weird. This increased resolution and having two playable characters made the art burden on this a lot harder and the animation a lot harder.
Yeah. One cute bit from the interview is that the X4 team was proud of being the hardest partiers at Capcom. One of the team members was a former professional chef. So that is just a fun little insight into corporate culture.
Partying like a chef. That old expression.
You know, making them like fucked up food. Yeah, I guess is the way they described it. Just like really like fancy, like fancy stuff. Yeah. A little bit of long pig, a little bit of long goose. This game was delayed because they wanted to have a simultaneous launch between the PlayStation and the Saturn. So they had to make the two versions of it. And those are two really different systems. But also the American version was delayed even more because Sony of America did not want 2D games on their system.
Yeah. The early psychosis of Sony of America. They got over it. But it was an annoying early kind of trend.
We want nothing but Bubsy's 3D.
Yes. The PlayStation, for what it's worth, the PlayStation and Saturn version of this are really similar.
Yeah.
The Saturn version is a little worse in terms of kind of the compression on the anime cutscenes, is my understanding.
Yeah, the loading times are fucking wild on the Saturn one as well.
X4 got really good reviews, calling it a return to form, but sales did not meet expectations. It barely made back its budget. But today, this is considered to be the second best in the X series behind the first game, which I based on my limited experience, yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. And the series would continue well past its sell-by date. X5 is pretty good, actually. Like, a little bit worse than this, but still pretty good. X6, X5 concludes a story. Like, there is an ending to it, and then they just brought it back and rushed out a sequel that is a nightmare that has, like, literal gibberish in the text boxes, even in the collection, the collected re-release.
Well done, Capcom. Mega Man X is one of those series where, like, it's the only place to get Mega Man. So you just keep, or Mega Man and Mega Man X. So you just keep going back. Like, they keep coming back, and I keep doing it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it always bites them in the ass. But I don't know. Like, if I was hungry for a Mega Man X game, this is the only place. It's like the X Men movies.
Yeah,
it's the only place to see X Men do X Men shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only place to see Zero do Zero shit.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. Yeah. PlayStation 2 would be the last platform to get an original X game in X7 and X8. Have you played those?
We did X7 for Abject Suffering. I made a real attempt when I was playing through the collection several years back now. Okay. Yeah, apparently X8 is supposed to be better. That's when you get into the Axel zone.
Okay.
yeah, which is bullshit. Like, they give you a third worse robot to play as for most of X7.
Thank God. A Knuckles.
Yeah. When Zero was already kind of a Knuckles.
Yeah, exactly. We got Knuckles on Knuckles. It's one of the game where kids punch each other's fists.
KJ Inafune would move on to focusing on the Zero games for Game Boy Advance and the ZX games for DS. The Zero games, some of the ugliest games I've ever seen. Holy shit, those look bad.
Yeah, it's a bad look. I have never played any of those. Like I said, by the time these came out, I was pretty... I've had my fill.
Yeah. If you don't like cramped levels, stay away from the Zero games. It's real, real tiny.
Huge GBA thing, just generally. Yeah. Like, good GBA platformers have a tiny little character.
Yeah.
In them. In 2006, Capcom released a remake of X1 for the PSP called Maverick Hunter X. And this was supposed to be a full reboot of the X series for the PSP, including a remake of 4, but that stalled out.
Yeah.
This is all available on a collection. The collection is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it has an easy mode, which I switched it to for the end. I got sick of this boss and I was like, nope, I'm a rookie Maverick Hunter now.
It is unavoidable. I also like that you can turn it on and off. Like, it's not something that you like even need to like go back to the main menu to turn on. It's just in the special pause menu.
It's also a really thoughtful difficulty selector. Like, in addition to making you take less damage, one of the things it does is it makes your special weapons SX not use up energy unless you charge them. That's real clever.
Yeah. And that's just an armor upgrade. Like, you can you can get that ability. Yeah.
It turns it on from default with that thing, though, is what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Let's. So there are different opening cutscenes depending on which character you play as. I'm going to reflect both of these. So as X, you open up with Sigma meeting with the general of Repliforce, this gigantic robot. That's just a name, General.
Yeah.
Also, like, they just kind of like built on like a Wario mustache on this fucker.
And the other one having a beard too. That's just part of like its barren underbite. Chin. Yeah. Like, they're sculpted like fascists, so that's why they seem kind of fashy.
Yeah. But Sigma's saying, oh, the Maverick hunters will stop at nothing to put down Repliforce. You have to destroy them. And the general has no time for this. Just sends Sigma away. I will never turn against humanity. But Sigma says, oh, you're going to change your mind soon. He's plotting sabotage and terrorism and stuff.
Yeah. Zero's story begins with him having a vision of Dr. Wily, you know, a memory or a vision, who he doesn't know, calling him his greatest creation. He's having flashbacks here. Yeah. He orders Zero to destroy X because his rivalry with Dr. Light is what gives him motivation in life.
Like, he straight up says that. You must destroy X because it's my motivation in life.
I had pretty much completely forgotten that X and Zero were fated to kill each other. Until I watched the ending of this. It is not something that is like boils in the background of this whole story.
And not at all. No.
He has visions of the destruction that he's going to wreak by going Maverick when he eventually does turn evil. And he's woken up, he sleeps, by an emergency alert announcement to go to this tutorial that we have here.
Yeah. This is the first official indication that Zero was made by Dr. Wily. Okay. So again, we're getting to lore shit. It was implied before. Because Zero's very proto-man like, you know, just hair instead of a cape, right?
Yeah.
Or scarf, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. The tutorial here, the Sky Lagoon and Crash Site, these two levels. One of the things that's interesting about this game is the levels are bisected into kind of two little pieces usually. Like you'll go to a zone and then you'll go to another zone.
It's like it's like Sonic 3 almost. Yeah.
Yeah. That had to do with them being bigger. For the PlayStation is my understanding.
Yeah.
So you get an emergency alert that the Mavericks have occupied the Sky Lagoon, which is an aerial facility. I love the general. When we get to the boss monsters, the little hype phrases are so funny in general. Yeah. Like, it's real good. So the Mavericks seem to be the Repliforce army. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a callback to the Mega Man X1 tutorial a little bit, at least in the beginning.
Yes. You can kind of see some city in the background. You're on kind of like a highway kind of thing, but it's like a tube, and it's kind of in the process of being destroyed. You got your basic enemies, just kind of like, a lot of them are up-reses of just SNES enemies, which is fun. You've got the, God, I love the dumpy grenade guys. Yeah, those guys are really so good. Fun.
Yeah. And there's a big, you know, kind of show off. There's a big flying robot in the background. That's going to attack you, and you have to avoid his attacks and bust through walls to get to the end, where you eventually can fight him.
Yes,
there are interior portions that have these kind of bulldozer enemies. They have these spike scoops in front of them. When you shoot them, they go forward. So it's, you know, teaching you to jump. It's kind of teaching you about defensive vocabulary. One of the things it does in this that I think it doesn't teach as well as it could is that this game, more than Mega Man X1 at the very least, relies on you doing wall jumps as an avoidance method, not just a traversal method. I wish that was tutorialized better. Yes. That's essential in every single boss fight except for this first one, where you'd want to learn it.
Yes. Yeah. They could have taught you this. You get to what seems like it's going to be a boss arena and has the door and everything, but you find instead it's the reactor room, and another Maverick hunter, Magma Dragoon, is there. You know he's going to be a bad guy because he's kind of animal like.
He's literally just being like, I don't know what happened, a Maverick did it.
It was like that when I got here.
Yeah, it was the one-armed man, it was the nobody, the butterfly, and he says to get out of here. Flee. This isn't going to work, though. A lot of people are going to die. The Sky Lagoon is going to crash into the city. And we're going to go down to that level. We would like to question this guy.
Yes.
We're going to talk to his boss later.
Yeah. So the Sky Lagoon comes down and just destroys this city that's beneath it. And the second half of the level is kind of down on ground level, running through the wreckage, dealing with a lot of like dropping blocks, shifting floors, a lot of stuff that's like an instant crush kind of hazard. A lot of like stones, like big stone blocks you have to shoot through.
Yeah, it does kind of an echo again of Mega Man X1, where you will fall down a pit. But this case, and you'll grab onto the side to kind of teach you that you have the wall jump. In this case, though, the walls close in. Yeah. If you literally didn't know that you have a wall jump there, if this was your first game, you'd get crushed. So it is less tutorially, like masterfully tutorialized than Mega Man X, I want to say.
Yeah. I think the levels themselves in general, while good and they have gimmicks, they feel less, the design feels like it has less consideration behind it.
Very much so. Like in terms of the wireframe, for sure. Like they have cool ideas. You're always doing cool things.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're as good in terms of playgrounds.
No. If you're playing as Zero, right before you get to the boss, you find your romantic interest, Iris. She's lying damaged on the ground saying like, hey, there's a huge maverick ahead. Avoid it if you can. And then you charge forward and you fight the huge dragon robot that was attacking the background of the previous half of the stage.
Yeah. This looks sick. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's freak how they get that dragon so big. It's not that interesting of a fight. Like the attacks are really simple, but it's really great spectacle.
Yeah.
Afterwards, we talked to the colonel. He's less than the general. and he says he's there to save his sister. Your character says, hey, we need you for questioning. The Repliforce was here. We need to ask you something. And he goes, no way. It wasn't Repliforce. We're Mavericks now. And you're like, okay, you're Mavericks.
We're gonna
hunt you down to the ends of the earth.
Yeah, because of honor.
Yeah, we're in agreement.
It's like, no, there's no way that we will clear up this misunderstanding. We are going to, I'm the bad guy now.
Yeah, if you're going to call me the bad guy, I'm so insulted that I will be the bad guy.
Yeah.
It's, what is it, like Taylor Swift?
Yeah. His sister is Iris. Yes. Zero's romantic interest.
They have sisters.
Yeah.
They're biologically related. What does it mean to be somebody's sister in this?
I don't know.
Like I assume it's not, can't just be made by the same people because like
every,
one person's probably making lots of robots. Like, I don't know if it's like a big family, like there's a Genghis Khan who just made most of the robots and everyone's related to him.
It also implies that they were raised together.
Yeah. Well,
what is raising a robot mean?
Yeah. This is incomprehensible. Like, this is some of the worst story shit we've ever done for the show.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it to find it in Mega Man, but like, it is, it's nonsense.
Yeah.
Shonen bullshit. Uh-huh. Dump it.
Yeah. So we get a cutscene after this of the Repliforce general with his like weirdly just a guy voice. Mm-hmm. Like he's the size of a city block. Yeah. Just like, today we will.
Yeah.
He's saying like, oh, you know, we've all been labeled Maverick, so we're going to go create our own nation. You know, this is not about revenge against humanity. This is not insurrection. This is about our individual rights.
Yeah.
And then the colonel comes up with his just a guy voice.
Yeah, goes, I agree. Very funny. And Sigma's watching this, cackling. This is all his plan. We then return to base, and we get to meet a new assistant, Double, who is a fat robot.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why you would make a fat or clumsy robot.
Nope.
Like, you know, fat people, great. Like, I'm not being fat phobic. It's just you're making a robot. Again, this makes no fucking sense. This is just so X has an assistant who can double cross him.
Uh-huh.
This is your unique boss fight.
Yeah.
As X.
You've never met this guy. Nobody told you were getting a fat friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. For comedy too. Like there's like people are laughing at him like he's fucking Eddie from Silent
Other robots
Hill 2.
Are making fun of him. And it's like you're all just fucking built.
I'm just as my manufacturer made me.
Yeah. What are you doing? Like at one point when he turns evil, the other ones are like, what a freak. And before he turns evil, and I'm like, what a freak. Uh-huh. What are you talking about?
God damn.
You should all be put down. Fucking toasters. I hate robots. Zero's helper is Iris. Mm-hmm. And this is our level rundown. We get our level select here. We can go in any order. So I went in a different order than this.
Your
people go in different orders of this. And you have boss weaknesses the same way that it works in Mega Man. They are, some of them are intuitive and some of them are a little arbitrary feeling. So you have to do a little bit of trial and error.
I've got no idea what slash beast, like taking a wild guess, no idea what is supposed to be effective against him.
Like as the Mega Man games continued, this got harder and harder to intuit. Mm-hmm. Until all that remained was ice and fire, basically.
Speaking of ice, We have Frost Walrus, the obligatory snow zone, with these ice platforms that will appear and disappear. Heaven help you if you are standing in a spot where one of these will appear, because it will instantly kill you.
Yeah, you get telefragged. When you first go into this level, the boss from X1 is frozen.
Yeah.
Chill Penguin is frozen in the background. That's great.
Uh-huh.
And another guy who I assume was from 2 or 3.
Yeah, it is from one of those. Yeah,
really great. Then there are mid-boss. There's a mid-boss through this. You go through these kind of platforms fighting Mega Man enemies. You get to this robotic core that gathers ice around itself and forms a claw spiked ball and drops ceiling spikes on you. That's an ice boss standard.
Yes.
And going to the second part of the level, again, these are all bisected.
Yeah. Bringing up Chill Penguin here is actually, that reminds me of something kind of cool. When you were poking at the collection, did you go down to like the remix mode?
No. This is the first time I got the collection.
Okay.
As a non Mega Man X American, I was just like, oh, we're doing it for work. This will be cool. Maybe I'll poke at this in the future. And I know I'll want to play Mega Man X 1 again.
Yeah. The remix mode in the collection is kind of neat. So it's just boss fights, but you are fighting two bosses from different games together.
Oh,
yeah. And you get to select like which weapons from all of the games you want to bring in.
That's real cool.
Yeah. It's just a series of escalating challenges. And the first one is Chill Penguin and Frost Walrus together.
Yeah. Little guy, big guy.
The second part of the level is more indoors. Kind of get the sense you're underground. There are all these ice blocks that are blocking your way that you have to destroy, some containing enemies, some containing power-ups, some containing bombs.
Right. And a bird will come in and start charging. You want to kill this before it goes off. When it goes off, it freezes the stage. So it's more hazardous than slippery.
Yeah.
The Flash Man or what have you. Or maybe it's one of the three where it was make things dark if you killed it, this kind of thing. When you get to Frost Walrus, he's huge. Mm-hmm. Again, this is a spectacle boss.
He's like a quarter the size of the screen, something like that.
Very easy, or very, very big and very easy, actually. This one's no problem, even though it does, again, it is mandatory to wall jump as a defensive measure.
Yes. He primarily attacks by doing like a little ineffective jump and sliding at you. And like, you've got to know how to dash jump off of a wall in order to clear the distance over him. Other than that, your only hope is to slide under him when he jumps.
Yeah. I found jumping off of walls a little bit awkward. Mm-hmm. In this game, it took me a long time to figure out how to do it. You cannot be pressing towards the wall.
No.
Because then you'll jump up. You have to jump away from it. But if you just pull away, you'll fall.
Yes.
So you have to get that timing perfectly right. Once you get it, you get it. But it takes a while.
That's just in my bones, man.
Yeah. No, I see it. Well, it wasn't a thing in much in Mega Man X.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like if I hadn't I hadn't played these ones where it's required. Mega Man X, you don't have to jump off of the wall very often. Yeah. You mostly climb.
It was only for like the Sigma stages or like to get certain, like to get the secret in the Stingray stage.
Yeah.
You had to do that or whatever, Sting Chameleon.
And this one too, the other thing is that since most of those bosses were kind of regular size, this one, if you're up on the wall, you have to jump as far away from the wall to jump over Frost Walrus because he's huge. Yeah. So it's requiring more. So buyer beware if that is not in your bones.
Yeah. His weakness is any kind of fire attack. So with X, you'll get an attack called Rising Magma, which is just made to kill this guy and one of the Sigma bosses, which is just firing a fireball straight up into him. And then Zero has like a rising, like fire uppercut kind of move.
His attack that you get, I really like. It's the Frost Tower attack. It makes a spiky ice block where you're at. This acts as a shield and enemies will run into it. This is real cool.
Yeah.
Utility and offense.
Yes. And Zero gets kind of a stomp attack with this. We'll create a kind of like an ice spear and then drop onto enemies with it. They all have Japanese names. I just got the translation for them.
Yeah, I have no idea what those are.
Yeah. Like just ice stab.
Jet Stingray has a really cool stage where you're riding a jet ski, like a jet bike through this oceanic facility. here. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a little bit of an auto-scroller, almost. Yeah. The bike has a blaster that you're going to use to clear out enemies and kind of blow down barriers. You're also going to have to jump and dash to avoid getting crushed against the back scroll obstacles. Think like Battletoads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the screen will scroll and you will get crushed.
Yeah. Huge advancement over the hoverboard stages in 8, which were just like almost literally the Battletoads kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Dr. Light would say, jump, slide, slide, jump. Slide.
Slide. Wow.
Yeah. And you had to react that way. Pretty rough. The second half of the level is outside. There are more obstacles here and kind of like more, like this is where the hidden stuff is. And you've got to like, over multiple tries in my, you know, for
really
my
hard jump.
Yeah. Like to get the heart container and stuff. The series of jumps you have to do, but also like really cool. Jet Stingray, the boss of the stage, is flying along and taking pot shots at you.
I really like that. Like, why would he wait?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for you to honorably challenge them. When you get here, the boss arena is half submerged, and Jet Stingray flies above the water mostly, shooting exploding stingray bots at you. He's going to swoop down. That's when he becomes vulnerable. He is weak to the frost tower, and I really like that. You can just kind of turn it on, and mm-hmm. he'll run into it, and then you can move out of the way when he's in his damage frame,
yeah.
Or the ice stab.
Yes.
This does a lot of damage to him. Mm-hmm. In general, I feel like the boss weaknesses don't chunk enemies the same way they do in older Mega Man games,
mm-hmm.
But it is still pretty effective.
Yeah, the like animation interrupts seem to be the primary thing yes. that it'll do. Like, if you get this right, you will just lock them in a pattern where they yeah. keep opening themselves up to have it done to them again.
Yeah. X gets the Ground Hunter, which lets you shoot a ground-tracking Stingray drone, and Zero gets the Flying Jump, an air dash, which is real cool.
Yes.
And necessary.
Absolutely necessary. Zero doesn't get the hover, though.
Yeah, the hover's really useful, especially mm-hmm. during the end boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another gimmick here, you go to Slash Beast stage, which is on the back of a moving train.
Mm-hmm. Like beasts.
Yeah, like beasts do. Like, you know how beasts are on trains?
Yeah, beasts yeah. as trains.
Uh-huh. A monster's a kind of beast.
That's true.
Yeah. And you can destroy some of the cars to get items inside. Once I discovered this, I was just like, well, fuck, I have to go all the way back and destroy yeah. all these.
Get all the things. A Grenadier robot will sometimes blow up the train junctions, so you have to do a dash leap mm-hmm. From the rear portion. This also kind of auto-scrolls to get to the next part of the train. And this also has a mini boss partway through. Another train shows up that is attacking you, shooting out these long spike poles at you.
Yeah.
So train versus train action.
This is a Sonic ass boss fight, yeah. actually.
It's really Sonic-y.
Yeah. But the second portion, you end up getting a ride armor. You're inside a train tunnel. Mm-hmm. This ride armor, just a mech suit like you get in a few levels in X1. And you attack with like a punch blade, like an energy punch blade kind of thing.
You kind of chop it down. You kind of do a karate chop with a blade on it. Slash Beast is a melee fighter who attacks with energy claws. This is really interesting. This is like a duel.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that this has over other Mega Mans is like melee is a thing.
Yeah.
Most enemies in previous Mega Man games, in my experience, almost entirely use projectiles.
Yes.
This is a guy who's just going to fight you.
Mm-hmm.
He dives at you. He'll shoot out spread shots from time to time, but he wants to get up close and punch you.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. It feels like
like a
Hollow Knight fight or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Separate and distinct from like Symphony of the Night, which you had melee combat, but most of the enemies were projectile based as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to use the Ground Hunter on this guy. Because you'll trip on them. Again, you can kind of stunlock them here.
Yeah.
And if you're Zero, use the Sky Waltz, which is double jumping and doing a spin attack in the air.
Yeah. Zero doesn't always have... Like, Zero doesn't get the animation and interrupts most times, actually.
Part of the reason why it's more challenging.
Yeah. The weapon you get from this guy is really good as X, the Twin Slasher. This gives you kind of a spread shot that's missing the center one. So you don't shoot straight forward, but you shoot kind of down and up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Useful. Mm-hmm. Especially anything you need to shoot up. and kind of cover that area. Zero gets the Hurricane Fang attack, which is a special slash while dashing. Web Spider stage, which is a jungle. We're getting a bunch of merman robot enemies to attack with tridents because I don't fucking know. Spiders is merman. And we want to get the first upgrade capsule here. And they basically give it to you. It's almost on the main path. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do anything to get it.
Yeah.
And this is the boot upgrades that you do a dash in the air and perform a brief hover.
Yeah.
Hover is very useful, surprisingly so, in this. And having an air dash feels necessary as a defensive move.
Yeah, the hover is like almost specifically for I need to get over these projectiles more than anything. Gives you a little bit of hang time, and it feels like a lot of the boss fights were designed with that in mind.
Only X gets it.
Yes,
it's generally pretty easy. There is a waterfall portion where there are logs falling, like in Mario 2, that you get through. The second area is deeper in the jungle, and we get beehives and spiderweb enemies. So it's more like the theme of the boss.
Yes. And then you get to Web Spider. This is the only one that we're like, what he is here. So like the their little item or level descriptions when you come in, and it's like, okay, Web Spider went to the jungle to develop a super weapon. And you see the cannon in the background. So like, hooray, they actually did it. They remembered it. They remembered that they wrote a thing.
These are so hilariously vague. Like, I wish I had all of them in front of me. Just like, his only goal is to destroy the network. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah, really good. Sting Manta went to the ocean.
Okay, yeah, went to the ocean and we'll challenge. Period. Boss Fighter's a cool boss fight. He'll drop from the ceiling, send a little tracking webs that you have to jump over, and they kind of rise at the end of their arc. So it's really testing your wall jumping here. And he'll also send out little spider drones. You need to take these guys out. The second phase has a really kind of a jabroni attack where he goes in the middle and creates an electric web. You can just hang out on the side. If you get caught in this, it hurts, but if you can also wait it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just means that he's on the screen more than when he's doing the drop ambush kind of deals. That just makes him more vulnerable. Pretty easy as far as these bosses go. And which makes sense. Like, this is an opening stage for a lot of people because they want to get the air dash. SX.
Air dash and his weapon. You beat him with the twin slasher here. And the weapon you get for beating him is the lightning web, which is really cool. This will stay in the air and make a platform you can jump off of, or a vertical surface you can jump off of. Again, utility.
Yeah. Zero gets the Thunder God attack, which is just a forward thrust with a lot of range to it.
After you beat four stages, we get kind of a mid-boss. The Colonel calls you up for a meeting. And Zero will confront the Colonel, saying like, hey, stop doing a coup. And they get into a saber duel.
He doesn't say a coup. He says coup. You need to stop the coup.
Yeah, stop the coup. You get in the saber duel, but Iris will stop the fight.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, Colonel, this guy saved my life. What? we weren't here for that.
Yeah, yeah. This is just a cutscene. For X, you show up and there's some dialogue about, you'll never stop us, blah, blah, blah. And this is a boss fight. And this is really fucking hard.
Yeah, it's a real wake-up call. There. He sends out two-level energy slashes that kind of go medium and low there. And they go fast.
Yes.
They come out quick. Again, like ways that kind of remind me a little bit of like Hollow Knight or Dark Souls. How you have to almost anticipate before the animation starts rather than having a wind up.
Yeah. He'll also use his energy saber to block your projectiles too. Yeah. And so like when paradoxically, it is only when he is doing these slashes that he is the most vulnerable. So you have to like fire off a couple of basic shots. Like you don't want to charge your shots against this guy. Fire off a couple of basic shots and then jump over them and then wait for him to make himself vulnerable again.
Yeah.
He also spends a lot of time just like disappearing and then reappearing behind you, taking a half a beat and then doing a slash. He does a shitload of damage.
Yeah. Like huge damage on this. You want to use the Frost Tower against him. He's most weak to that.
Yeah.
And before you can actually defeat him, he escapes.
Yeah.
We get to my favorite boss next, Split Mushroom. Mm-hmm. Just because he's a little guy.
Yeah.
And he's got a real goofy voice. This is a lab, and the beginning of it is a big spiral staircase. Mm-hmm. Really neat. Like, it looks like you are going up this infinite staircase, fighting uphill, fighting robots, covering a lot of distance here.
Yeah. No. Neat effect, although when you're on the stages, it's just, or when you're on the staircase, it's real basic. You'll reach a platformer and then go, or you'll reach a teleporter and then go to like a little platforming interlude, which is more interesting than just running up the staircase.
The staircase. Yeah. There is a mini boss. You'll fight against this Beetleborg that destroys the platforms you've been fighting on one by one. You know, standard boss fight thing.
Yeah.
And the second half of the level is a combat elevator. It's doing all the video game gimmicks. They're just really novel because they're in a Mega Man game.
Yes. And then you get to the boss. He's a little guy.
Yeah. And something we didn't mention is that there's voice acting in the cutscenes, but also in the game. Uh-huh. Your character will make grunts constantly, and the bosses will do it.
Yes.
So split mushrooms are going, like making little goblin noises this entire time. And he's split because he can clone himself.
Yeah.
I like this attack a lot where he creates a bunch of holograms and it takes a minute and then they shoot out at different angles.
Yeah. They like all like take like flipping jumps toward you.
Yeah. Look cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. His weakness is the electric web. This will short circuit him. He falls to the ground. So you have to stun lock him. And the thunder god attack will do the same thing.
Yes. Fewer opportunities to get it because he spends most of his time like hooked to a wall, weirdly, like mushrooms do. He's not on the ground very much. Yeah. The thing you get from this, the basic, it's one of those weird things where the basic attack is way more useful than the charged one.
Attack is great. This is awesome. Yeah. And pretty creative for like, you know, the Mega Man's been going on for a long time. A lot of these attacks are just kind of the same projectile we've had.
Yeah.
There's not that difference, big a difference between Stingray and Snake Man, you know, for example.
Mm-hmm. But you get the Soul Body, which creates this holographic double that runs like a few tumbo widths in front of you. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of create this and then run, and it'll disappear when it hits something, but do a good amount of damage.
Yeah, it does contact damage.
Yeah.
Cyber Peacock. We're now in cyberspace because nothing matters. portions of the stage kind of evaluate your skills by timing how quickly you can complete them.
Yeah.
That's interesting, but I found it frustrating. I wasn't playing this game to speedrun it, and I wanted to get the upgrade. So you want to get an S rank, and you also don't know this when you go into it.
Yeah.
I felt like I wasted a bunch of time with this.
It sells the cyberspace thing though, because there's like a holographic reticle that like hits you and then it's performing diagnostic or something.
Yeah.
And when you're about to rank down, it'll say like, hurry up. Like, that is the indication of what you're being.
Yeah. There's an indication that you're supposed to be fast, but not an indication of what the reward is.
Yeah, yeah.
To it, you know, like, is it this something like most graded things in the game where I can just not care about it?
Right, yeah.
You know, I want the upgrades.
I see A, B, C, S, and I think, no, that's not for me.
Yeah, C. C's get degrees.
Yep. Yeah,
oh, you got me.
Yeah.
Bronze rank. Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Queen Latifah.
Yeah, thank you, Queen Latifah. Sure, okay, let's move on because this doesn't matter.
The biggest thing that's going to trip you up here are these big like eyeballs made of like electric cloud kind of things that if you touch them they will stun lock you. Just shooting them slowly knocks them back. You have to shoot them a bunch of times to get them to build up to build up momentum, or you can just use the soul body, and when the hologram makes contact with it, they dissipate.
Yeah, pretty neat. You like fooled it.
Yeah.
The upgrade that you get for being fast here is a helmet that makes the basic versions of your special attacks cost no energy. You can turn that option on in the collection, but like if you're just playing normally, you really want this.
Yeah.
You know, the Mega Buster is fun and good. I get, when I'm playing these games, and this is also a your mileage may vary thing, I get a little fatigued from charging and jumping all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Ergonomically. Being able to just turn on a special weapon so I have better DPS for just regular attacks is really useful to me.
Yeah.
So I wanted this, which means I had to do this a couple times and I was able to do it fast, which I don't like doing in games.
Mega Man should just always be charging, and you get like your first attack will be like the big one, depending on what it is. And then there's like a cooldown where you're just doing like little pissant attacks.
Oh, yeah. Like Secret of Mana. Like tons of games do that, you know? Mm-hmm. It's annoying. It's not as much of an audio terror in this game. Yeah. Like when, you know, you're doing it, it just makes a high pitch ringing that you can't get rid of.
Yeah.
But it is, again, like I don't like doing it and jumping at the same time very much. Yeah.
Not at all. So the second portion, it's a real weak gimmick. There are these big metal balls that will block your way, and they're just switches that flip the stage on the vertical axis. Yeah. And then they'll roll away.
Yep, no big deal. You get through this and you get to Cyra Peacock. Cyra Peacock is not hard once you know his patterns. Mm-hmm. He only does a couple of attacks, but his fan tail attack takes literally half your health.
Yeah.
Like, just half. Mm-hmm. Get fucked. Like, this is very frustrating.
Too much. Yeah.
You have unlimited continues in this game, but if you die on the boss, like, you will go back to the second part of the level.
Yeah.
Through this, if you die enough times on the boss. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the timing. It comes out really fast.
Yeah.
Like, this is, you know, that uneven difficulty. This is too hard.
Way too hard. One attack shouldn't do that.
Yeah. He also sends out these targeting reticules that will make his feather projectiles kind of track you, and mm-hmm. you have to run away from them for a little bit. This is kind of fun. This is a good attack. He has mm-hmm. good attack and bad attack. Rich dad, poor dad.
Yeah. When he's about to die, or when he takes it, Jesus.
The most recent Onion print edition has a fake book section where they have wet dad, dry dad.
I love it.
That's a fictional story told from one dad who's sopping wet and one who's bone dry, and showing the choices they made that made them that. Like,
wet dry dad, wet dad, dry dad is very good.
Really good.
So if you use the soul body on him, he'll like kind of like de-res almost. Mm-hmm. Also, like when he's about to die, he kind of makes like an I'm a little stinker kind of pose that is really funny.
Yeah. You get the aiming laser for this, which gives you kind of an aiming reticule thing that reminded me a little bit of the Yoshi's Island egg.
Little bit, yeah.
It kind of moves up and down. I found this awkward to use. I almost never used it unless it was the weakness.
If it moved up and down on its own, it would make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
There's some direction that you push will either like move it above you or below you. It is impossible to aim precisely.
It's one of those things where even stopping to aim that kind of thing doesn't work with the pace of play in this game. And it's kind of the always be charging thing we were talking about. Like, stopping to charge an attack is something like the reason why you're always doing it is because the pace of play is so fast that you don't pause for any period of time. That's why it should automatically do that. This is also something I just don't have time to do. There's too much shit on screen.
Way too much. The thing that works in its favor is like it'll mark several enemies, but the range is really limited.
Effective if it works.
Yeah. And the charge version of this gives you like, it gives you the tracking feathers attack.
Yeah.
There is a
system. I didn't get this far with zero.
Yeah. So there is a system in this game called Giga Attacks. With X, you unlock it when you get an armor, when you get the armor upgrade, like the actual like chest piece. Zero gets his here. It's the only attack of his that requires energy. And it's called the Fallen Phoenix Crush. This gives you the energy fan attack that that Cyber Peacock has. So it's like a kind of like an oh shit button. There's way too much stuff near me. I need to destroy all of it. Kind of deal.
Short range AOE. Storm Owl is our next guy. This takes place on the backs of his flying armada. Mm-hmm. Large portion of this are spent in a flying right armor.
Yeah.
And the charge attack for this thing can shoot out homing energy, which is useful since you're flying. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are big, huge lasers coming from ships at the top of the screen that you have to avoid.
Yeah.
Several of this level and the next level have background hazards quite a bit.
Yeah. It's like Independence Day, mothership kind of lasers that are shooting down. There's one of them that's like right above the heart container upgrade for this level. So you have to like really rush in and get it and then get to safety before it blows away.
Yeah. The electric web can help you go up the spike chute and get the upgrade capsules, both for your weapon. Both let you shoot charge version of boss attacks, so we haven't been able to do that yet. Mm-hmm. And one will let you charge up and hold up to 4 mega blasts.
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
Yeah. The other one will give you this kind of the standard like supercharge kind of deal. Shooting a big plasma attack. This is not just doing extra damage, though. This leaves behind a spark of plasma that will linger for a few seconds and do continuing damage to stuff. That is the version that I go for, not the charge store thing.
Yeah. Right before the boss, there's a mini boss. It's this eye on the wall of an arena. Summons waves of laser firing, flying robots. You know, fine. Straight from video games. And then we eventually get to Storm Owl here, who is a little guy, but not cool looking.
Uh-huh.
If you can imagine such, kind of like, he's also dumpy.
He's, yeah, he's got a big old pot belly. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what a freak.
I love the. Yeah. No, he's not a freak. He's not a freak. I love him. He's so cute.
The why would you build a fat robot?
His little salute that he does.
Yeah. He's honorable. Yeah. He's really cute.
Yeah. He spends most of the fight flying around doing just Storm Eagle stuff.
Yeah.
Actually
Storm Eagle. It also reminded me of Plague Knight from Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
Just kind of going either the top route or the bottom route, either shooting or flying through it. You just have this little platform to avoid him.
Yeah. So. But he'll like try and fly into you, do spread shots, creates tornadoes, just Storm Eagle stuff from X1. And the second phase kind of turns this into a shmup. He will send out like a quarter of the screen with like energy, and then it will rotate. So you have to like go up and around him to avoid taking damage.
Weak to the aiming laser and the falling Phoenix Crush, the last things we got. Mm-hmm. And if you beat him, you get the double cyclone, which sends out these kind of rising projectiles on either side of you.
Yeah.
Through this. Zero gets Sky Command, which is an upgrade to the Z-Saber, which turns it purple and gives it the ability to slash projectiles out of the air. I imagine if you're playing as Zero, this might be a boss you want to rush. Being able to deflect seems huge.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. It doesn't let you deflect everything, but not having to abandon your plan of attack just because somebody shot something at you is a good it's a good perk to have.
Yeah, this final boss we're talking about is Magma Dragoon, who is the first boss I fought through this. This big volcanic, fire level. There's a lot of fireballs and gouts of fire that go through. They'll knock you out of the air and into pits. To avoid a lot of background hazards here. And partway through the stage, there is a hidden area you can get if you do a dash jump. If you have the weapon upgrades, you can blow down the stone wall and get the final upgrade for your armor, which reduces damage and lets you charge the Giga attack. I had to come back here to get this because I came here first.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an upgrade that's hidden behind an upgrade. But it's a big deal, giving you more survivability and giving you like a Giga attack. Like charges you with energy and you rush forward and do a shitload of damage on guys.
This boss is unique in that at the end of the level, you get a ride armor and you can bring it into the boss fight.
Yep.
If you maintain it, if it doesn't get hurt. That's why I did this one first. I saw like online people said, hey, you get to use the right arm. And I'm like, cool, I'll try that because I don't know what things are weak against what. Mm-hmm. Pretty neat. But you have to push through and try to keep up its energy before you get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Magma Dragoon, he is a melee fighter for the most part.
Yeah. He does beat him up dive kicks a lot of the time, which is pretty easy. You just dash under him when he does this. Has some slashes and stuff, but then just like does Street Fighter moves, shouting out the name. Like he will just do Hadoukens and Shoryukens.
Yeah. He has a fire breath attack too, where you want to get behind him if you can, because you can get free damage. But if you can't, since this was the first boss I fought, this was my wake-up call for you need to do wall jumps as avoidance. As a thing, because it will, you cannot jump over it. It is a lot, and if you don't have the hover yet, it will stay on the ground for too long to avoid.
Yes. It's a good fight. And this is the guy who destroyed the reactor. We saw him before. Kind of makes sense that you would come here first, even if you were just coming off it. Like, oh yeah, no, fuck that guy.
I know where all these guys live. This gives you the rising fire, which shoots a fireball directly up, or the dragon flame blade that is upward flaming slash. When you beat all eight bosses, we go to the spaceport. Your assistant says, like, hey, the Repliforce is gathering here. You have to go and stop them. And this is just a stage. This is, I think, where this game gets worse generally. The end game of Mega Man X1 is a lot better, and the end game of like good Mega Man games tends to be better than this.
Yeah, no, this is like the levels, there's just nothing to them.
Yeah, nothing we haven't seen, you know, and just enemy spam like through this.
Yeah. I think there's one there's one area that requires you to use the hover or the air dash, and that's it. The boss of this stage is the Colonel, is trying to stop you from interrupting the launch of this super weapon. Or it's either, it is both a super weapon and also the ship that the Reploids are using.
They have a laser ship. They have a ship that is also a gun that is aimed at Earth. And this is the first time we're seeing this.
Yeah.
Like, this story is so fucking bad. Like, characters are constantly telling the player things with the assumption the player already knows. Maybe it's in the manual or something, but like, every piece of new information is like, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right.
Oh. Yeah.
whatever's clever, man.
I'll just go, I guess.
I'll go to the right and shoot stuff. Cool.
Cool. More level. Yeah. His moveset's the same as before, but he gets a second phase where he will make intermittent like lightning ground, kind of like rising kind of stuff. Nothing more. If you're playing as Zero, this is the first time you fought him, but that's about it.
Yeah. When he's defeated, the colonel says it's too late. The Replo Force has already gone into space with their space gun. Mm-hmm. And if you are Zero, the colonel says, "Tell Iris I died happy." Mm-hmm. When you get back to HQ, Iris is gone, however. She's left with Repliforce. Yes. What a betrayal of this character, I don't know. Uh-huh. On X's route, though, this is where we get a cutscene of Reploids kind of bullying Double.
Yeah.
And Double is just bumbling around. And then Double gets a call from Sigma and turns into, like, a scary transformer.
Yeah.
And kills all the Maverick Hunter staff.
Yeah. Just
so well.
Yeah, I know. This person I just met turned against me. How dare you?
Nonstop. Yeah. Like, this whole game is that
hideously ugly. The secondary form, like, not even threatening. It's just kind of a hard silhouette to read.
So we get to the final weapon, part one. These kind of last stages. This one is very short. It's on this kind of wiry tangle inside of huge space station. We're in tech corridors now. We have different boss fights depending on who we're playing. X fights Double, and you're very surprised Double betrayed you. Mm-hmm. He laughs, you know, it's so easy to turn the Repla Force against the Hunters and attacks. He is also kind of a melee guy.
Yeah. Doing evil slash attacks. Him just spamming that attack and shouting it every time.
Yeah. Saying your attack name. Mm. Zero, though, has to fight his girlfriend.
Yep.
She's holding this glowing purple orb, and she's lost all hope. Zero killed her brother. The orb gives her a set of, like, bat ride armor.
Yeah.
Like, it's ride armor with wings.
Mm-hmm.
And you fight her as a boss.
Yes.
Yeah, I watched this on YouTube. I didn't do it.
Yeah, it's a better boss fight than Double. She kind of has these drones that are constantly spamming you, and she'll send out, like, she will shoot a laser horizontally in addition to having, like, a little drone that will stop and do, like, a vertical laser at the same time. So you need to kind of create a safe spot by locking them into a position and then staying out of it before they until the beam is done.
After you fight with Iris, she's dying on the ground. She's gone back to her human form, and she tells Zero, you know, stay away from Rebel Force so we can be together in a world that's just for robots. She wants the ethno state.
Yeah.
She dies with a smile on her face, and Zero starts losing his mind.
Infamous cutscene.
Yeah, this is the meme part of this game.
Yeah.
I want to fill your soul with light. You know, but for this.
No, this isn't happening. There's no reason to go on. What am I fighting for?
The voice actor for this, because when this became kind of a meme thing, went back and re-recorded it to do a better performance. And it's really interesting hearing them back to back, because you can't elevate this material. But the way he made the material better was just making his voice grittier. So instead of like, no, this isn't happening, he's going, no, this isn't happening. And that's what he considered to be the good version of this.
So he just made it an early 2000s anime instead of a mid-90s anime.
Shonen bullshit.
Yeah.
Final Weapon 2, we get another really basic level on the space station, tech corridor. We get ride armor at a point. I always like ride armor.
Yeah.
And the boss, we fight the general. He's huge. He's sitting on a huge throne, which he gets up and it blows up. And this is, he's doing huge screen spanning attacks.
Yeah.
You have to do wall jumps to get up to shoot him in the head. It's the only part of him that's vulnerable.
He will detach his hands and then, like, send them out, and they will be temporary platforms for you to get up to his level.
Yeah. Not too bad.
Nope.
You defeat him, and he's shocked because this final weapon, the space station, starts charging up. Yeah. And he says, X, stop that attack from destroying Earth and humanity. We didn't want to do that.
Yeah. This was not about revenge. Want, man. Yeah. Yeah.
You certainly set up a lot of revenge here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get to Final Weapon 3.
Yeah.
And we have the boss rush. You know, it's at this point, like, it's fine. Like, yeah. You know the weaknesses and stuff. But then you get Sigma taunting you. He starts out as a Grim Reaper here. And you start getting, if you're zero, you get some special information here.
Yes. Oh. Sigma's like, now let me remind you, you were once a Maverick. And we get a flashback to Sigma being the head of the Maverick Hunters. That's like his backstory. He went rogue. And he goes into this like mountain facility where Zero was kind of discovered. And we get a stupidly long cutscene of them fighting that is just all close-ups.
Yeah.
And
that's exactly Zero, what you want in a fight.
Yeah. Zero cuts off Sigma's arm, and Sigma's nearly dead. And then the W in his forehead gem flashes. Mm-hmm. And this gets Sigma to, you know, punch him, breaking the gem so he can be reprogrammed, whatever. It's Dr. Wily shit. You know, and says like, oh, take Zero to Dr. Kane's repair center. This is how he joined the Maverick Hunters.
This is how you get your three-phase boss fight
here. Yeah.
This sucks real bad. The first fight is fine.
Yeah.
As Grim Reaper. This is like the joke fight, you know, the one you can do really quickly.
Yes. Yeah. You just want to use your flame attack on him. It'll chunk him, and then it'll throw off the cloak, getting you to the secondary. The second phase, where he's Sigma human form, kind of like fighting you with the staff that the scythe is on.
Yeah, and this is tricky. Mm-hmm. You know, melee, he moves really quick through this. He will deploy these eye lasers and boomerangs. He covers the wall opposite from him from electricity. He's actually playing with the idea of you using the walls as a defensive measure. Mm-hmm. This took me a lot. Like, yeah. This was really hard. And I'm like, cool, that was hard. I did it.
Yeah.
But there's a third phase, and this is confusing. He's three primary colored sentinel heads that float around, or a big melting face from the end of Narc.
Yep.
And he kind of comes in and out of those three phases doing whatever. Yeah. Trying to get a idea of what attacks were coming when.
Mm-hmm.
Sucked so bad in this. This is such a bad fucking boss fight.
It's really, really bad. It's like fighting three bosses to taking turns with each other. And like just really restricted on when you can actually do damage to him. Like when he's in his tall mech form, you have to get up and like shoot a very specific point. Like it's his face, not the faceplate, but like it's the face underneath it, like the little basilisk eyes.
It's also unclear where you can be.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like, what will do damage to you? Like, the sentinel heads, the entire game, I was thinking of enemies as hurt boxes, but you can climb up the sentinel heads in this. They just shoot projectiles that hurt you, which, like, I didn't get until I had to get it to move on, but I'd already died at that point. This is rough.
Yeah. Like the big melting Narc head, that's a good pull because it's hideously ugly. You can only damage it when its mouth is open. Like it will inhale a bunch of stuff and then spit out rocks.
It's hard to even know what that is.
Yeah.
Like Sigma is a guy who has a face size.
Yeah.
What is this?
I've never liked Sigma's design. Sigma's design has always been like just hoopty as hell.
Like Sigma sucks. Like you give him no argument for me, but he's also... He's not Protean in this way. I don't know how he dissolved, like melted like Haster, you know, and became this kind of like droopy face thing. It just, I don't know. Nothing is anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real bad last impression, I feel like.
Yeah. Lasts for just an incredibly long amount of time. In addition to him being just hard to damage in general, has a ton of health, two separate health bars.
Yeah. Get fucked.
Shooting the sentinel heads does nothing. They just respawn.
Yep. You can get rid of them temporarily.
Yeah.
After the fight, this weapon, this laser, is still charging, and the general does a sacrifice. So he uses his body to stop them destroying the space station. He was noble, after all.
Yeah.
Good for him. X flies away from the space station and has a flashback to the Colonel, Double, and Sigma, all the people he's lost. And Zero video calls him saying, hey, you've done real well. Come home and rest.
Yeah.
No. And X says, tells Zero, like, listen, if you go Maverick, I'm going to have to destroy you.
No, X says, if I go Maverick, you'll need to take care of me.
Yeah, you'll need to take care of me. Zero says, stop being silly. And X tells Zero, you have to promise this. Zero is destined to go Maverick.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why X thinks he's going to go Maverick, but he's like thinking back on these Mavericks. And the Colonel is only a Maverick because you called him a Maverick.
Yeah.
Like, this, I know there are mangas about this. I was reading there is more text to this. It's not just what's in the game, but I cannot fathom.
No. And
it's tough.
It's tough. I was about to say there's an interesting version of this where you could say but no, it's literally just.
No, there's not.
Yeah. No, there's not. Yeah. Yeah. That was a lie. That was me just coming to this thing's defense and then just running out of breath. There's no way to do this.
Well, it's also, even if you did it in a way that was comprehensible, it's a cliche.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like if I turn into a vampire, kill me. If I turn into a zombie, kill me. Mm-hmm. Like this is something that was very stale by 1997.
Yes. Yeah. And Zero's ending is basically nothing. He's flying away from the station, you know, thinks back to his fight with Sigma, and it's like, oh, I wasn't able to save anybody. And anybody just encompasses the Colonel and Iris.
Yeah. Iris, maybe Reploids all turn out to be Mavericks after all. Reploids is mad Mavericks. Noids can't fuck tunes. it's just vocab.
Yeah, and then we're back to in the very first episode of this show, it was just us saying, all right, well, not every Reploid's a Maverick, but every Maverick is a Reploid. It's all deployed interchangeably. Is it a virus? Is it a state of being? Is it just you are in rebellion and that's it? Can you choose not to be
declared?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is wild that the Mega Man X games have so much of a worse story than the Mega Man games.
Oh, yeah.
And the Mega Man games don't have, a good story. It's just really simple.
There's a bad man who made bad robots. You need to get rid of all of them.
Yeah, good robot kill bad robot. Good man make good robot. Bad man make bad robot. There's also one robot who's pretty cool, who's sometimes okay.
Yeah.
And there's girl robot and dog robot. It's very easy to grok.
I do not need moral ambiguity in this fidelity of game. I really don't.
No, it's pretty frustrating. Yeah. A good game. I wish the ending wasn't the way it was. Generally had good time with this. I thank you for bringing it to the show. I think it was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I just ended up at the end of it feeling, putting down my Switch in disgust because of that loss.
It's a real bad aftertaste.
Yeah, it's hard for me to think about revisiting this knowing that ending is waiting for me, but I don't regret playing it. It's kind of where I land on it.
Yeah. The Zero stuff is really cool. I like the change up to it. I think that was necessary for the series.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. You know, a series that does not do new stuff, doing new stuff is good.
Yes.
If you're listening to this and you have a project or a product and you're any kind of marginalized person, you'd like us to shout it out, please send me an email at gary@duckfeed.tv. We'd be happy to do it.
Yeah. I'll say this. There's a possibility that the Indiana Jones episode is going to be a couple days late.
Yeah.
I'm moving.
Yeah. Kay is moving. This is the last day we're recording before Kay goes into a packing and moving fugue.
Mm-hmm.
The likes of which the world has never seen.
Yep.
And we appreciate your patience.
Yes.
Nothing is getting canceled. There are no episodes that are not coming out. They're just getting
No. Yes. Yeah. So there's no WAF episodes that we're going to be missing.
Yeah. Well, even then, the Abject Sufferings we are going to do, we're just going to do them later.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not losing any content. There's just going to be a couple breaks and a couple shows.
Yes.
Because moving across country is one of the harder things you can do.
Yes. So thank you. If you have thoughts about this month's games, you have a little bit of time. Mortal Kombat 2, Mega Man X4, and Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. Go ahead and write in at duckfeed.tv/contact by the February the 15th. Also, if you have thoughts about March's games, which are The Final Station plus The Only Traitor DLC, Donkey Kong Country 2, and Castlevania Bloodlines, that is March 15th, duckfeed.tv/contact. Please keep your responses concise and specific.
Yeah. If you are not a patron, you should be one. Go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You're going to get the bonus episode, that Indiana Jones episode, which is going to be really good. And it's going to be really fun. That's a cool game. And you get a bunch of bonus stuff. Yeah. Extra old epic sufferings, unfilmable, real lich hours. You get tons of shows. Mm-hmm. In addition to all of the back episodes of the premium offs.
Yes.
So, yeah. Why aren't you?
Do it.
Yeah. In either case, you should also rate and review the show, subscribe on your podcast directory of choice, talk about us on message boards, spread the word. Mm-hmm. It helps us out a lot. And you want us to keep doing this, presumably. You've listened this far. That is what you can do to make that happen.
Yes. Also, join us in thanking our producer, Gwen. Thank you, Gwen.
Big thanks to Gwen.
Yeah.
And what should they watch out for until next time?
Watch out for your secretly racist girlfriend?
Yeah. In American History X, I always thought Fairuza Balk was pretty hot in that. Mm-hmm. But it's like a real problematic fave. Because she's not so secretly super Nazi.
Yeah, but no, she's very openly a Nazi. I think that's just Fairuza Balk being attractive.
Yeah, and just an attractive lady has kind of like an unusual structure that makes her dangerous looking.
Yeah,
but if I had an iris, that would have been my iris, probably.
Maybe,
I guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
That particular role, though.
Yeah, don't fuck Nazis.